Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, because I'm American, you know, I love to win. I love to win, so I decided, you know, one of these days, if I ever run for office, I'm gonna make sure I win. So I picked up this new book written by the Democrat Party called How to Win an Election in 101 Illegal Ways. And so I've been reading through that and then studying what's going on here in the great state of North Carolina and around the country. And yes, I'm somewhat humorous in saying that, but not really. And so there is a lot going on around the country when it comes to voter fraud, election fraud, all kinds of strange things going on out there. We saw it in Georgia. We saw it in Florida. We're seeing it here in North Carolina, actually in North Carolina, involving a dear friend of mine who's Mark Harris, who is a pastor for years, a dear Southern Baptist pastor, brother of mine. And if it weren't for Mark Harris and him coming to my church back in 2004 and preaching a revival service, you wouldn't be listening to me, because that's what drove me into the public realm. And when I became an activist, and eventually that opened the door to radio and so on and so forth. Yeah, and there's a lot going on there with Mark Harris's story, and that's particular to North Carolina, which we'll talk about, but it's just an indication of something that's going on around the country. And so in North Carolina, and if I want to go to an expert on the subject and somebody that's in the middle of the fray most of the time, actually probably all the time, I'm definitely going to talk to my friend Tammy Fitzgerald, who is the executive director of the North Carolina Values Coalition and a dear sister in Christ, and has been down this road for as long as I've been on this road. You were on the road before me, but it's great to see you, Tammy. Happy New Year. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Steve. It's so good to be here today, and I do consider you one of my friends for many, many years.
Many, many years.
I so appreciate what you do on the radio.
Well, I think I have the easier gig. I think you have the tougher gig.
I don't know.
But it's great to see you. And is this the first time you've been in this studio? This is the first time you've been in this studio.
It is.
Usually
Yes. You're
calling in.
Yes, or I was in the other studio.
Yeah, one of the previous ones.
Yeah.
But it's great to have you in here. And this is a difficult subject, and there's a lot we can talk about. And by the way, friends, I'll be broadcasting remotely tomorrow and Friday. I'm going to get into the Covington American Indian story now that the dust is all settled, and I'm not going to freak out about it as much as everybody else is, but there's some fruit on that tree that I want to talk about. And then the nightmare yesterday in New York and the new law that they passed, and then the governor signed it last night, and then they had the audacity and their sin and their brokenness and their depravity to light the top of One World Trade Center up in pink, celebrating now that they've codified into law in New York the fact that they're going to allow abortions literally up to the moment of birth. Remarkably sick, what's going on in our country on this issue of life. But there, you know, but the younger generation, and I did find this, I just found this today, and then we'll dive in here, Tammy. For 11 years running, a Marist poll has been conducted on America's abortion views. On Tuesday, the newest poll was released showing that the overwhelming majorities support substantial restrictions on abortion. And you're thinking that's all Republicans, but listen to this. 92% of Republicans, 78% of independents, 60% of Democrats, and 61% of those who identified as pro-choice stated that they wanted abortion allowed only in the first 3 months of a pregnancy at most.
That's right.
So there's some ground there that we need to be aggressive in taking, and I'll talk some more about that, if not tomorrow, then probably on Friday. But this issue is a huge issue, and I guess we can start with a quote-unquote a local example here in North Carolina and talk about our mutual friend Mark Harris and what's going on there, because that's opened up Pandora's box, and you guys at North Carolina Values Coalition are doing additional work on this and discovering additional problems.
Yes. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to talk about this race, Steve, because what has happened here is really outrageous. I mean, on election day, Mark Harris won the election with 900 votes to spare. And then when the State Board of Elections was supposed to certify the race 10 days later, they refused to certify the race. And at that point in time, the vote was 7-2. Then they voted again on November the 27th, and it was 9-0. And this was started by the vice chairman at that point, whose name is Joshua Malcolm. He's the one that made the motion not to certify the race. And at that time, when he made the motion, he said that that it was due to claims of numerous irregularities and concerted fraudulent activities related to absentee mail ballots, and to assure that the election is determined without taint or fraud or corruption and without irregularities that may have changed the results of the election. He also added that he had known about election problems going on for years, and he was no longer going to turn a blind eye to these problems, which leaves you to assume that as the vice chairman of the State Board of Elections, if you had known about voting irregularities
previously,
for years,
yes,
you would have done something. Now, it just so happens that Joshua Malcolm was the chairman of the Bladen County Board of Elections. Bladen County is eventually where they settled in terms of the voting irregularities that were going on. He had been chairman of that board for 5 or 6 years before he went on the State Board of Elections. During this whole proceeding that was launched right after the 2018 election, the chairman of the board, whose name was, I think, Malcolm Penry, a Democrat, was removed from the board for making some partisan tweets about this election. So then Malcolm,
and it's worth noting, for those of you that aren't familiar and aren't here in North Carolina, this is a big deal. It's the 9th district in North Carolina's congressional seat. It was held by a Republican. Mark Harris beat and primaried him and beat him. And he had all kinds of outside money and outside influence coming in here because this was a fight for control of the House of Representatives. This is a big deal. There's a lot on the line. And Mark Harris, now the only person that won election in the fall that hasn't been seated in the U.S. House of Representatives.
That's correct. And because this was a targeted race nationally, there was so much money spent in this race. I brought the figures. I had an assistant look up the final numbers for me today. And it is just outrageous, the amount of money, $6 million spent by Dan McCready, who is Mark Harris's opponent, on this congressional race. One of the most expensive in the history of our country.
Man.
And if you look at the campaign finance filings, McCready's funding came largely, the majority of it came from out of state.
Out of state.
53.1% from out of state.
Wow.
Whereas 25% of Harris's was from out of state. So you know that this race was being influenced by people in Hollywood and New York City and places around the country. It was apparently one of the primary targets for the Democratic Party this seat and make it Democrat.
Yeah, and the simple fact that they acknowledge that there have been campaign issues, voting issues in the past. Oh, and then it's just once the guy that you don't want to win gets in there and you think he can grab a seat, that's when they swing into action. We'll keep talking about that with Tammy Fitzgerald, who's the executive director of the North Carolina Values Coalition. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Well, just in case you're wondering, if you want to learn how to steal an election or impact an election results, and you should take a playbook from the Democrat Party. They're really, really good at it. And that's not just going on here in North Carolina. That's a nationwide issue. And we're talking to Tammy Fitzgerald, the executive director of the North Carolina Values Coalition. By the way, that's ncvalues.org is their website. And we're going to end up talking about something on the very first day of the new Congress, Democrats in Congress, day number one, the For the People Act of 2019, which is hilarious if it weren't real, but it is real. So we'll get to that because all this is leading to that and what the Democrats are doing and trying to do in Congress. So we're talking about the Mark Harris race here in North Carolina, who's just a fabulous man of God down near the Charlotte area and in the North Carolina district, the 9th district for U.S. Congress. Okay, this is a big deal. The House of Representatives still has not been seated. Irregularities, all kinds of stuff. And then Tammy and the North Carolina Values Coalition getting involved down there and finding more things going on. That area is also called Mecklenburg County, which is part of where Charlotte, North Carolina is located. But what kind of things were they pulling up and talking about in Mark Harris's race in order to kind of shut it all down?
Well, I think where we left off is the board decided not to certify the race, and it was almost a week later before the board gave any public reason at all as to why they wouldn't certify the race.
Yeah.
And initially, their first statement said that a guy named McCray Dallas, who was a contractor for the Mark Harris campaign, was doing what they call ballot harvesting. And so what they were accusing McCray Dallas of doing was sending people to voters' doors to collect their absentee ballots and turn them in. and maybe even fill out the ballot. And then later there were accusations made that some of those ballots just kind of got lost on the way to the Board of Elections.
Yeah.
Now, there's been absolutely no proof on any of these allegations except the Democrat Party submitted affidavits the day the accusations were made and the allegations came out.
Johnny on the spot.
Yes, they had these affidavits ready.
Sure they did.
Released to the public and to the national press from different people around Bladen County, some of whom were voters that said that someone had come by and picked up their ballot. Now, since those affidavits have been submitted, some of them have been retracted. Some of them have been revised. And it's apparent that some of those people they obtained affidavits from did not know the difference between an application for an absentee ballot and the absentee ballot itself, and that they had confused the application with the ballot, and that someone had come by and picked up their application,
yeah,
which is perfectly legal. And so those people learned later from members of the press that that was an application and it was different than a ballot. And so they corrected their affidavits. Now,
and by the way, Tammy's got like 22 plus years of legal experience. So she's not, you know, just somebody in the sidelines just jumping in this. You understand what's going on the legal side of all of this. And we saw it, I mean, immediately with Mark Harris. We saw it in Florida. We saw it in Georgia. Mm-hmm. We saw it in a number of places around the country where all of a sudden it didn't go the Democrats' way. And then boom, oh, voter fraud, all kinds of problems, irregularities, yada, yada.
Exactly. I mean, Mark Harris is a Baptist preacher. That's been his profession for 30 yeah, some odd years up to this point. And Mark was just like deer in the headlights.
Yeah,
he had no idea.
One of the godliest men I know. I've known him since 2004. He's a 15-year friend, eternal brother in Christ, and he's just an outstanding individual.
Well, exactly. And so we made kind of this timeline of events that have happened. We sent this out last week to some of our constituents. But when Mark Harris was declared the winner on election night with 905 votes to spare, Dan McCready waited until the next day, but he did concede. And then there were no election protests filed at all. All of the county boards of elections certified the results and certified Mark Harris as the winner, passed those up to the state board, which at that point, it should have just been a ministerial duty for the state board to certify the
election. Certify it, right.
But instead, they, you know, the vice chairman made this motion not to certify. Now, let me just give you a little background on that. In 2016, when our governor, McCrory, was up for reelection, they had accusations from the same county of these same types of irregularities with the same guy, McCray Dallas. Only this time, the absentee ballots would have benefited Roy Cooper, who was the Democrat candidate for governor. And somehow, this same Board of Elections found it within their constitution to certify Governor Roy Cooper's
election. Right, no problem. We'll just overlook
without,
that.
Yes, without holding up the certification,
yeah,
and they would continue an investigation. Well, nothing happened with this investigation. I mean, they sent all of their evidence to the U.S. Attorney's Office and to the, I guess, to the State Bureau of Investigation, which is sent their allegation. I've read all of this. The State Bureau of Investigation sent the information to the Attorney General's office, who at that point in time was run by Josh Stein, who
yeah, another liberal, big-time liberal Democrat.
Big yep, liberal Democrat aspiring to someday be governor. So needless to say, nothing happened with any
right,
of these allegations.
All depends on whose ox is getting gored. That's
right.
The deal.
And so what it makes it look like is that the State Board of Elections and the Cooper people, Governor Cooper's people, allowed this operation to just go without being checked. And it then was just sitting there waiting to capture an innocent victim like Mark Harris
right,
in the next election, which is exactly what happened. So apparently McCray Dallas has worked both for Democrats and Republicans. And so let me just get back to the timeline, though. After these accusations were made by the State Board of Elections, Dan McCready, the opponent, withdrew his concession. And so then Dan McCready started into a full all-out campaign mode. And they have hired Hillary Clinton's lawyer, Mark Elias, who showed up in court yesterday, which we'll talk about. But so then he withdrew his concession. The Amid investigations, this Democrat, Andy Penry, the chairman, had to resign. Then the Bladen County Elections Board vice chairman, a Democrat named Jens Lutz, resigned.
Another one,
mysteriously.
Yep. Yeah.
And amid investigations, the Bladen County Elections Director, a Democrat named Cynthia Shaw, takes an early retirement.
This is crazy.
Then the vice chairman of the Board of Elections is appointed chairman, this Joshua Malcolm character. So then we demanded that Governor Cooper call on Malcolm to resign because he had a conflict of interest. I mean, he was at the epicenter of these allegations of fraud. And because he was aware there was a problem and never fixed it, during the years of his leadership, he should not be the one to be the jury and the judge on Mark Harris's election. So next, a TV station in Charlotte identified a local businessman and political action committee funded by the North Carolina Democratic Party as two additional coordinated efforts that were targeting absentee ballots. And the Democrat Party denied knowledge of anything this PAC was doing, even though the PAC was paid by the Democrat Party, and that's reflected on their campaign finance reports. So then the North Carolina Republican Party called on the Elections Board to produce evidence or certify the results of this election for Mark Harris. The Libertarian opponent of Mark Harris came out in support of him and said that the Elections Board was making a circus-like spectacle
of the election. Yeah, and we're talking about North Carolina, and we're going to finish up that conversation when we come back. We'll talk about California and what's going on nationwide. This is a problem all over the country, and that's why we're talking about it today with Tammy Fitzgerald. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you today talking about something that is not just a problem here in my backyard in North Carolina, but is a problem all over the country. And we saw it in Florida. We saw it in Georgia. We saw it. And it's amazing what happened in California in the election last fall and how things flipped in Southern California in Orange County, which is like the most conservative place in California, which is remarkable in and of itself. But the California election is just amazing what's going on. And when all the kind of voting irregularities and outright voter fraud and what the Democrat Party is doing nationwide. That's why it's so important that we have this conversation and educate ourselves. And whether you're here in North Carolina, it doesn't matter, because this is a problem all over the place, just like we have listeners in San Francisco, in California, and 13 other states outside of North Carolina. So this is an issue that we all need to be paying attention to. I did a show last fall with Jay DeLancey, who's here in North Carolina, fighting voter fraud and all kinds of problems in the voting process. But Tammy Fitzgerald's with us today, Executive Director of North Carolina Values Coalition. Their website is always ncvalues.org, especially if you live in North Carolina. You care about the truth. You're trying to follow a biblical mandate. Then the ncvalues.org is a website and an organization you definitely need to be supporting. So let's make sure we do that. So, Tammy, let's kind of wrap up the status of where we're at here in North Carolina with our friend Mark Harris running for the 9th District for the Congress and the House of Representatives. And so where does it stand today? Because you guys did some more investigation down there and found more problems.
Well, we decided to look at Mecklenburg County, one of the other counties in the 9th District, because we looked at the statewide average of absentee balloting, and it's 2.6% of the vote comes from absentee ballots. Bladen County, where all this occurred, had 7.3% of the ballots were absentee
Three
ballots.
Times the average rate.
But there was another county that had double the state average, and that was Mecklenburg County. So we sent some people into the Board of Elections to look at absentee ballots, and we found over 300 absentee ballots that had problems. We started out looking for, you know, an absentee ballot harvesting project. But what we actually found instead of that was that these 300 people had not witnessed their ballots correctly. The statute requires that they be marked and witnessed in front of two witnesses or a notary. And the dates on the ballot indicated they had not been witnessed in person.
Wow.
And so that is ripe for voter fraud, because somebody else could mark the ballot and then just get two people to sign it. And in fact, we did find some cases where the witnesses' names were forged by the voter. And so they hadn't been. And then we sent people to the doors in Charlotte to figure out, can we get affidavits from these people that they didn't have their ballot witnessed in person. And we found even more problems. Wow. And we found people who didn't – who had registered at this address, but they didn't live there and hadn't lived there for several years.
Of course.
And one of the most egregious cases we found was a woman who moved to New York City to be a model and hadn't lived at this address for almost 3 years.
Oh,
and
God.
Yet she had voted by absentee ballot in North Carolina's election.
Golly.
And so a reporter in Charlotte sent another reporter to her door in New York City.
Wow.
And the woman admitted she had voted in the election. And he asked, are you going to continue voting in the elections in North Carolina? And she said, yes, it's outrageous.
Oh,
so what you see, I mean, we found
enough. And
that's
not an isolated incident either. This kind of stuff's going on all over the place.
It is. And we found in Mecklenburg County enough irregular absentee ballots to actually overturn a House race.
Wow.
In Charlotte.
Wow.
If the member had gotten to it,
yeah,
early enough.
Gosh.
But it's actually the former governor Jim Hunt's daughter that won that election, but she shouldn't have.
No, man, that's
so
unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. It is.
But not enough people are taking the time to investigate. We just assume that there's some level of integrity, and there really isn't.
Well, we have so many laws that are loosely interpreted as well by the elections board. I mean, the elections board in North Carolina instructed the county election boards not to worry about the dates on the ballot.
God, jeez.
Because
that doesn't matter.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's just remarkable. So to wrap up Mark's situation, the governor, who's a Democrat, will put a new state board of election in place at the end of January. That's going to be 3 Democrats, 2 Republicans. They can vote. They most likely would vote to not certify, but then they need 4 of those 6 people, 4 of those 5 people to vote in order to have a new election. So it's kind of a stalemate. It's going to be a stalemate, just like we have in Congress between Pelosi and Trump right now.
It will be. Mark went to court yesterday to try to get a judge to order the state to certify his election, and the judge wouldn't do it. He thought it was premature. So it's going to go to this new elections board, but it will be back in court when they stalemate.
Jeez. Yeah. So the voice of the people that want Mark Harris to be their next representative for the 9th District in North Carolina. I don't care what you want. It doesn't matter. It just matters what the power brokers want and what the lawyers can get away with. So that's North Carolina, which is a nightmare. What about California? That was crazy. There were a bunch of election law changes in Orange County. All of a sudden is a Democrat haven, and it never was before.
Well, this is outrageous what happened in California. And they did this legally. I mean, it's legal. So California passed a number of laws that made minor changes in their elections laws. First, they required that people be automatically registered to vote anytime they had an interaction with the Department of Motor Vehicles. They were registered to vote.
You don't need to do anything. You're all of a sudden registered.
Exactly. Even though they didn't ask to be registered.
How convenient.
And next, they passed a law that requires the State Board of Elections to send absentee ballots to every registered voter, whether they want the absentee ballot or not. So on a certain date, all of these absentee ballots go in the mail.
This is just stacking the deck the whole time.
If you wanted to just check mailboxes, you know, around a certain date, you might be able to collect several absentee ballots that you could then vote fraudulently. But the final thing they did in 2016 was they passed a law that says basically has allowed the Democrats to steamroll their Republican rivals. And that law allows them to harvest ballots. It allows anyone to go to a person's door and collect their absentee ballot and take it to the Board of Elections. So this has allowed massive absentee ballot harvesting programs in California. And it resulted in all but 7 of the Golden State's 53 House seats going to Democrats.
Yeah, because that's why everybody was in shock in California. Because Orange County, like I've mentioned several times, Orange County, very conservative. And I've got a bunch of friends out there, Harvest Crusades, Greg Loriella's guys out there. And all of a sudden, boom, they're losing all those seats, which have been conservative seats for years.
Well, let me tell you about Orange County. So Orange County is once seen as a Republican stronghold in the state. And every House seat went to a Democrat in Orange County after an unprecedented 250,000 vote-by-mail drop-offs were counted. And so they on Election Day, they drop off 250,000 absentee-by-mail ballots. And 2 weeks after, I mean, people who won on Election Day who had won the early vote, the Election Day
all
vote.
All of a sudden,
they lost because of those 250,000.
This is like the Corleone family's running the whole system now at this
point. Exactly.
It's like Goodfellas. All right, so on the first day of Congress, I'm going to jump to this just for the sake of time. So we have the For the People Act of 2019, H.R. 1, boom, right out of the gate, number one. Yeah. So what is this monstrosity that the Democrats are trying to push?
Well, it's ironic they call it For the People Act because it should be called For the Democrats Act of 2019.
Right, right. Our people.
But this act would basically spread California's elections laws to every state in the country when it comes to federal elections. And because state elections are on the same ballot, it would force California's type of election fraud on the rest of the country, guaranteeing that Democrats win indefinitely. So it would not only affect federal elections, it would affect state elections because they're all on the same ballot. But the provisions of this act basically would allow felons to vote again, even unless they're in prison. It requires states to have automatic voter registration, just like California. It requires states to have same-day registration and automatic registration.
Well, because when you're showing up with a busload of your people, you know, you want to be able to get them right in and out.
Exactly. It makes it harder for groups like Jays to get ineligible voters removed from the voting rolls. It requires states to allow absentee balloting for voters with disabilities. It mandates that provisional ballots be counted. Now, in North Carolina, provisional ballots are not counted.
Yeah, pause button. Check it out later and deal with it then.
It mandates 15 days of early voting. It mandates absentee balloting and prohibits states from regulating or imposing conditions on absentee balloting. But it doesn't include ballot harvesting yet.
Yeah, right. Of course it will.
Yes.
You know, since you're getting 10 out of your 11 things that you want, why not go for the last one? But yeah, and there's now, thank God right now, this will pass in the House. It won't go anywhere in the Senate. They won't pass it in the Senate. But all they need to do is win the Senate and change, flip over the presidency, and boom.
If you want to see
they just rigged the entire system, all 50 states nationwide.
If you want to see what election law would look like under Democrats, look at this bill, the For the People Act. Now, I just want to note that you know, this has an application to states like North Carolina where we have fairly decent laws. They're just not being enforced right. Because ballot harvesting in California is going to come to our state.
Sure.
Left-leaning political organizations pumped over 220,000 pre-filled absentee ballot applications into North Carolina, 50,000 into that Mark Harris race.
That's unbelievable.
So these groups are targeting Democrat voters
who have
never voted before.
Of course.
So we already have programs like this. We just can't prove it.
We just can't prove it. Yeah, that's why we got to keep working at it. Tammy Fitzgerald, Executive Director of North Carolina Valley.
So what are we waiting for?
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. So such an important topic to spend that time with Tammy Fitzgerald, who's really an expert on all of this, and really appreciate her taking the time to come in. And I know sometimes that sounds like, just so you know, just a little pathology behind the show. I'm here in on the campus of Southeastern Baptist Seminary, which is in Wake Forest, North Carolina. That's basically, I'm a northerner. I call that a suburb of Raleigh. So we broadcast here, and so I have access to all kinds of great content and ministries and leaders and politicians and stuff in North Carolina. But then when we bring them on, I know we have – you might be living in Indianapolis or Albuquerque, or you're out in Iowa, or you're out in California. Maybe you're Aloha out in Honolulu, wherever you happen to be, down in Florida. And I'm obviously have to be sensitive to that. So when I have local guests on or somebody that's specific to North Carolina, we make sure that it's a topic that applies elsewhere, so that it becomes a local example of a much bigger issue. And in the case of voter fraud and rigging elections, which the Democrats are awesome at, and now they're trying to do it on a national level with the very first proposed legislation in Congress on day one earlier this month. This is a massive problem. So I really appreciate Tammy coming in and helping us to understand that. Monday was, of course, MLK Day. So the markets and everything were closed. So we couldn't do a Money Monday update then. So we're doing it now, playing a little catch up with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. David, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for asking.
You're welcome. It's great to have you on, and we've got several things to talk about. We'll open up with a passage of scripture as we always do on our Monday updates. But everybody, we talked about this 2 weeks ago, so we're going to kick this off today, where we're going to be allowing you to kind of get in on a drawing for just an incredible coin that David is going to be giving away. It's specific for our audience, and it's worth like $1,600. Just a beautiful coin, a $20 St. Gaudens gold coin, which is just beautiful. And so we'll do that later on in the show. Before the end of the show, you have to call in and give your name. Don't call in yet. Okay, so hold on. So your name, your phone number, and your email address, and we'll get you in the drawing for that. So we appreciate that, David. And we're going to start in the book of Romans, chapter 9. Let's go there first, and then we'll dive into the rest of our content.
Verse 20 and 21. On the contrary, who are you, O man, who answers back to God? The thing molded will not say to the molder, why did you make me like this, will it? Or does not the potter have a right over the clay to make from the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for common use? You know, I was thinking about this today and kind of what brought back in reference to something, the personal application that you actually ministered to me, Steve. We were talking about how I was doing, and I said, you know, I've been spending, through my challenging of my health, I've been spending more time with the Lord, and, you know, and I said, I'll go where you want me to go, I'll be who you want me to be, and he said something so simple that was so profound. He says, well, how about maybe just the Lord wants to hang out with you on a deeper level? And I'm going like, wow, how profound and yet how simple that is how God is.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes we say, you know, I want to be this type of lump of clay over here. You didn't mold me right. You didn't put me in the situation for this purpose. I'm trying to do something great, and what, you know, how are you getting my attention?
Right.
And the Lord is saying, you know, it's just as simple as this. What if I just molded you, you know, in essence, like a parable here, as a cup to hold the wine for the Last Supper? And you're thinking, I need to be something spectacular, like
right,
a statue or something like this. You have a monument that draws all this attention.
Right.
Yet he just wants us to be holding him in our lives.
That's right.
And that's how simple this is.
Yeah, isn't it amazing if God says, hey, you know what? All I really want from you today, David or Steve or whoever is listening or watching, all I really want to do with you today is just talk to you and listen to you and spend time with you. You know,
yep.
I appreciate that we want to run and go do all this stuff and do all the ministry. That's awesome. Go share the gospel. But it's just like parents, you know, as parents, we're like, hey, you know what? I just want to sit down and talk to my kids every once in a while. And sometimes God has to knock us right on our rear end in order to get us to do that. But praise the Lord for that. And Romans 9, what a great passage. Thanks for bringing that to us, David. I always appreciate that. It's such a great way to kick off our time together. Why are we talking about Switzerland? Other than the fact that it was just as cold as Switzerland across most of the country, except in Phoenix. But why are we talking about Switzerland today? What's going on over there?
Well, some of the brightest minds are in Switzerland today. Business men of the world, political leaders. It's an annual attendance of the Economic Forum for Davos, Switzerland, World Economic Forum. And the thing that's ironic that's coming out through this time is that they're talking about, the minds agree that we're heading into a global recession. And they talk about why. In fact, there's a letter that was written by one of the top legendary hedge fund managers, Seth Klarman, and he was handing that out at the forum. And many of the people were interviewed by CNBC and other financial news, and they all were talking about this letter. And the letter brought back the same sentiments, things that I've been saying, that Ray Dalio has been saying a major recession is coming that's going to bring significant risk. In fact, the letter said that this is going to be in 2019 or 2020 at the latest. They're referring to the same thing that we've been talking about on your show, is record government debts. In the letter, it says in the U.S., he cites government debts have exceeded the annual gross domestic product, the GDP, a warning sign of a major financial crisis by conventional economic wisdom is coming. The debt-to-GDP ratio, as in other developing economies, including Canada, France, Britain, and Spain, is also rapidly catching up to the U.S. level. And he said the seeds of the next major crisis are being sown currently, and we may be finding sovereign debt levels that will be triggering a major financial crisis. So it's interesting that they're actually talking about this.
Yeah.
They might come up with a solution, but they're actually talking about this on a global level now.
Yeah, which is very sobering, and we should all be paying attention to that. So when they're talking about debt, we should all be paying attention to the fact that are we carrying a lot of debt, and do we have any diversification in our portfolio at all, and not being afraid of cash, because the tsunami's coming. It's just a matter of whether it's going to be later in 2019 or sometime in 2020. But the noise, the consensus is getting so loud, you just can't ignore it. So the markets, you know, you're talking about, before, David, what's going to be happening in 2019, that we're going to see a lot of market fluctuation. That's exactly what's going on. Any other insight into what we think we can look forward to in 2019 in the market?
Well, I think we're going to move into, if we've not already, in fact, I was watching today on CNBC that a fund manager came out and said, quote, "We believe that we saw a bear market bounce after Christmas, and it ended yesterday." And I want to explain what that means, because I think this is really the key, what's happening in the markets. It's telling us something. There's a difference between a bull market, which when stocks go up, and a bear market when stocks go down, or they just stay across the board, they don't move. But when a bull market goes up, stocks have pullback days, but they continue to go up. That's the trend line. In a bear market, is opposite. The market is going down, yet there's a few up days that holds people captive mentally that thinks, okay, well, maybe this thing's going to turn around. If you remember, I said in September, I said, watch out, diversify, get some money off the table, buy some gold. And what happened? Well, we had a 10% downtick in stocks. We had an 8% uptick in gold. If you had followed my advice, you'd be up about 18% net. So just be careful. Don't have all your eggs in this basket, because we're going to see a very volatile environment.
What a great point. So tell us about the coin giveaway right quick, and then I know we wanted to get some more information in about the Fed, but I want to go ahead and give people the chance to start calling in.
Well, the Fed was established in 1913. We're giving a coin away. The year 1913, the significance about this is most years they mint over a million coins. They only minted 168,000 this year. And this grade being an MS-62 grade, there is 2,200 known in existence in this grade, compared to most other dates, 100,000 are in existence in that common date. So this is not a rare coin. This coin represents the need to have gold, because it tells the story of why the Fed took us off a gold standard. And it says diversify. So we're giving away four things: a free gold coin, a coin on book on how to invest in coins, a coin on the a book on the Fed and how it was established and why, and the background of the Fed, and a free consultation with myself going over the benefits of diversifying into precious metals and going over a person's portfolio and stocks if they'd like.
So a great little prize pack. And then when are we going to do the drawing, David?
Well, it's going to be around the first, second week in April. It's 13 weeks from last Monday. So I believe the date is the 15th of April.
Yeah,
so,
right around tax day.
So right around tax day. So one, people call in, they all get a free, what I call a survival packet, which is our literature, talks about what's happened economically, and they also get our newsletter, which is also free. So a value packet around $187 they get for free, and information.
And they're in the drawing for the big coin.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome. Yeah, if so, hurry up and call. We'll keep the phone lines open for about another 5 or 7 minutes. But if you want to get in on that, and we just need your name and your email and your phone number, and we'll get you put in the drawing. Plus, you'll get that other information as part of being a part of the drawing. So just give us a call. The regular number, 866-348-7884 here at the show. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Again, we just need name, your email address, your phone number, and then we'll get you in the drawing for the, it's just a beautiful coin. It's worth about $1,600, and we'll do that, that drawing on April 15th. But you got to call in. We got to get you entered that way. So give us a call, 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. All phone lines just lit up, David. So there you go. People responding already. And any other information they want to get, best way to get to David and his team, landmarkgold.com is their website, landmarkgold.com. We'll continue to do this drawing. I really appreciate your generosity with that, David, and trying to help us. And then we'll do that ultimate drawing will happen with all the names that we get on April 15th. A $1,600 coin, just an awesome, awesome prize for being a part of this. David, God bless you, brother. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for helping us, as always.
Absolutely. God bless you and your listeners, Steve.
All right, pal. We'll talk to you again next week. All right, everybody. I'll be live tomorrow, God willing. I'll talk to you then. This is Steve Noble. And like my dad always said,